Our Bible reading this morning is coming from the book of Acts. We're going to focus on Acts 2 verses 42 to 47. But for context, before our reading, we're going to begin our reading from verse 36. So busy with our series in the book of Acts, we're going to pick up our reading from verse 36, Acts chapter 2. Let us listen now to the word of God. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, Save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. We finished last week in a very good place with lots of baptisms. Men, women, and children, in a very short space of time, the early church grew from around 120 to over 3,000 people. So if you were part of that church there in Jerusalem, there would be lots of new faces now gathering with you in someone's home, lots of new names to learn. And having been baptized in the name of Jesus, all these believers received the mark of belonging, the sacrament which testifies to the washing of Christ's blood and spirit. As surely as water removes dirt from the body, these believers have had their sins washed away through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, having confirmed that the Spirit came in power, just like God promised, and that the Spirit is also working powerfully to bring God's people to faith, Luke, the author of the book of Acts, he'll now go on to give us a brief picture of the habits and the patterns in the early church. A vision, if you like, of what God's church ought to be. Now, just a note of caution before we begin our reflection on those verses. It's important to remember whenever we read a biblical narrative, and when I use the term narrative, I'm talking about an account where we have a story, a description of what happened. When we read a narrative, we are dealing first and foremost with a description and not a prescription. So that is to say, Luke is describing to us what the early church did in Jerusalem. He's not giving us a command to be obeyed. Now, certainly his description is very helpful to us in seeing what the priorities were of the church, seeing how they understood scripture, but it is not necessarily always the case that their example should be copied today. Reflecting on this, we can consider the Old Testament there. Sometimes we read examples of what people did. How David, for example, committed adultery. And we know that's not something which we must follow. So what we need to do if we read these narratives, these descriptions in Scripture, is we should compare the examples that we're given with the commands that we find elsewhere. And when the two are in alignment, when the example matches the command, then we know the example can definitely serve as a guide for our practice. Now, having said all of that, in the verses which we have read, Acts 2 verse 42 to 47, I do think that we are given an example to copy, an ideal for every Christian generation to work towards. a vision also for us in the Reformed Church Tshwane. And that vision is quite simple. Because Jesus has reconciled to God, and because Jesus has gathered us into one body, we must listen to his words, and we must love his people. Let me say that again. Because Jesus has reconciled us to God, and because Jesus has gathered us in one body, we must listen to his words, and we must love his people. In verse 42, we are presented with four key elements that characterize the early Christian gatherings. There was a devotion to the apostolic teaching, a devotion to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. Now, most likely, this is a summary of what took place on each Lord's Day when the church officially gathered for worship. And then with verses 43 to 47 describing the impact of this gathering on the lives of believers and the Jews of Jerusalem. Now, I don't know if you had a chance to look at the quote in your bulletin from Justin Martin before the service. You see, I've put a quote there from him. He was an early church theologian. He's writing about 100 years after the events which we've read about here in Luke or in Acts. And it's very interesting to note how his description of a worship service matches almost exactly with what Luke has told us. So see, Justin Martin mentions that there was teaching of the apostles. He mentions the breaking of bread. He mentions prayer. He mentions fellowship, this concern for believers who aren't able to gather at the time. So on the Lord's Day, we can confirm the church came together for these activities. They came to meet with God and with one another. They came to be strengthened by his word, to be nourished in the faith. And then during the week, they worked hard to serve each other and to love their neighbors. Very simple, very straightforward. They listened to God, and then they loved his people. Now, in terms of detail, I want to briefly expand on some of what Luke has said so that we can have a deeper understanding of this passage. So firstly, there is this devotion to the apostles' teaching. At this point in time, there were 12 apostles in Jerusalem. 12 men who had seen Jesus and learned from him. 12 men who were specially commissioned to teach his word to others. If you had any questions about doctrine, you simply ask them, and they would make things clear. Now, you and I, we don't have quite the same privilege today. We can't go up to an apostle with all our questions about what Jesus did and how we must do things. But what we do have is the substance of their teaching. The books, the letters of the New Testament, they are a record of the apostolic teaching that God has given, a record that God has preserved for us to nurture and build up his church in every generation, also ours. And so our task today is to study those scriptures and then do what they say. That is what it will mean for us to be devoted to the apostles' teaching. And that is also the reason why Bible reading and preaching must always have a central place in our worship services. We don't gather on the Lord's Day to be entertained. We don't gather to have someone, you know, put on a show for us. We come to hear from God, and he speaks to us through his word. Now, when we consider fellowship, we might think, you know, that's all about tea, coffee, and other social activities. Certainly, fellowship includes those things, but it also goes much further. The Greek word here, used here, speaks especially to the way in which we see each other as believers and our relationships in God's church. Now, the Church of Jesus Christ is a gathering of people. A gathering of people united in their devotion to God. We are a new family of adopted sons and daughters. A family that meets together on the Lord's Day. A family that then continues to show concern throughout the week. Having all things in common, selling possessions, this was not a primitive form of communism, this was family members looking out for each other. So typically what happened in Jerusalem when you become a Christian, you would no longer have access to the traditional Jewish support system. So the priests and the Levites, they would now be reluctant to help you with any financial needs, and your family also might even turn their backs on you. And now that you're part of the church, you're very dependent on fellow believers to step up and come to your aid, especially if you were a widow and your husband had died, or if you were someone who was unable to work. And that then is exactly what took place in the early church. Christians looking out for each other. Christians using their wealth to serve. Christians being generous with their time and money. Christians acting like a family. With the breaking of bread and the prayers, we're also given an insight into the relationship between the old and the new covenant, between the church and Israel. Now, breaking of bread, that is a reference to the Lord's Supper. Gathering in homes for worship, the early church celebrated this sacrament on a weekly basis. It served as a constant visual reminder to them of God's promises in Christ. And it was also an expression of the family fellowship that ought to be enjoyed among believers. As one body, we gather to eat from one bread and drink from one cup. Then we get to the prayers, and notice it is the prayers, or at least that is what your translation should say, the prayers, not just prayer. Now, the prayers, that refers to set times and occasions when the church would gather for prayer. Specifically, liturgical prayers or the psalms that would be sung or used during a worship service. And it is with regard to these kinds of prayers that there is also a link to the temple. If you have your Bible open and you look at Acts 3 verse 1, you'll see that Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer. The hour of prayer, that would be the ninth hour, or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, every day in Jerusalem, there would be set times where the Jewish priests would lead a formal time of prayer and singing, and it seems as if the apostles participated in this, or at least they were present in the temple when this took place. Also, when we look at Acts chapter 2 verse 46, we see that it was not just the practice of the apostles, but of all the believers. They kept gathering around the temple. That is where they praised God. That is where they seem to have enjoyed the favor of all the people. Now, that raises a question to us. You know, why would they do this? If they're holding worship services and meeting with God in their homes, why continue to go to the temple? Perhaps, you know, they were just gathering in the, you know, temple courts, which is an area outside the temple proper. Maybe that was just a good space. But there is a hint, at least, that they, you know, participated in the prayers being led by the Jewish priests. And so why would they do that if the old covenant is finished and if animal sacrifices are to be done away with? Perhaps we might think that a clean break with the old was in order, but that doesn't seem to be what happened. And I think the reason has to do with the continuity that exists between the new and the old covenant. The apostles, the early church, they were not coming with a new religion. They were not calling Jews to turn their backs on their Lord. They were not calling on Jews to forsake the Old Testament scriptures. No, they were proclaiming that Christ is the fulfillment of scripture, and that, rightly understood, the Old Testament is all about him. So by continuing to meet at the temple or in the temple vicinity for prayer, the apostles, the early church, is visibly demonstrating their connection with past revelation. They're still coming to worship the Lord. The Lord has revealed himself to Israel. They've not forsaken him. However, by celebrating the Lord's Supper away from the temple in their homes, they're also highlighting the fact that a change has taken place. It is the blood of Christ that makes us right with God, not any animal sacrifice. Jesus has reconciled us to God through the cross. He is the Messiah. He is our high priest. So there we have the early church. Nothing too fancy or spectacular. No light shows, no crusades. Just a gathering of people who listen to God's word and love those around them. And this gathering is used by the Lord to save those he has called. Day by day, we see in verse 47, he adds to their number. So just imagine how this would work. A friend of yours is invited to come to a worship service. You know, at first he refuses because he's a bit unsure about this new Jesus movement. But when he sees that you still pray at the temple, he's somewhat encouraged and he decides he's going to come and investigate. Arriving at the house that's been chosen, he sees that you follow the same pattern as the synagogue. There's a reading from the Old Testament. There's the singing of psalms. There are prayers to the Lord. Then he hears the sermon, the gospel preached by one of the apostles from exactly the same scriptures that he has grown up with. And then after that, there's the Lord's Supper and a collection taken to help those in need. So here is a community that believes Jesus to be the Christ, a community that proclaims the forgiveness of sins in his name, a community that looks out for one another. This is a community which he also wants to be a part of. This is a community which he wants to join. And that brings us to a very practical conclusion this morning. We must strive to be the church that God has made us to be. Yes, we haven't all been called to organize works of service. That is the task of the deacons. We haven't all been called to rule or to teach. It's the particular duty of elders to make sure that the doctrine of the apostles is the doctrine being proclaimed in our gatherings. But as Christians, all of us have been called to formally identify with God's people, to gather with God's people for worship, and to commit ourselves to the hard work of building relationships. There is no Lone Ranger Christian in the Bible. There is no you and your computer listening to a sermon at home and not you gathering with God's people. So selling your possessions maybe to cover medical bills, hosting people for a meal, inviting someone to stay in your spare room. Those are all things that we normally do for close friends and family. We make big sacrifices for those whom we love, big sacrifices to meet them, you know, to travel and meet with them on a weekly basis if we could. And when it comes to God's church, that is exactly the same attitude which we ought to have. We are brothers and sisters. We must look out for each other. We must love those with whom God has gathered us together. Now, fostering this kind of love, this kind of devotion takes time. We need the Spirit to change us if we're going to love. It doesn't just happen overnight. And gathered with people, you know, who don't look like us, who don't think like we do, relationships in church are always going to require hard work. They're never just going to come easy. We're not a club. We're a gathering of different people. And to that end, may I make just a few suggestions so that, you know, as to what we can do to promote fellowship and to grow in the love that Christ seeks to work in us. Firstly, let us make sure that we come to worship with the right mindset. When we gather on a Sunday morning like we've done, we come to meet with God and with his people. We're not coming to be fed by God's word so that we can just disappear back home. Spending time with fellow believers is a vital part of the Christian life. It is our duty. God calls me to meet him in communion with others, and that communion requires bodily presence in space and time. Let us come to worship with a commitment to develop, to deepen the friendship we already enjoy. Let's come with a commitment that I am needed by the body of Christ and that I also need them. Secondly, as we come to worship, let us be on the lookout for newcomers and visitors. We really should not expect visitors to make the first move in coming to greet us. If you've been here a while, if you see someone new whose name you don't know, the onus is on you to go and speak to them, not the other way around. Even if you're naturally shy and more reserved, if we are members in this church, it's our job to look out for visitors, to invite them to tea and coffee, to greet them. That is our responsibility. Finally, let us also pray for the Spirit to be at work in our hearts so that we will grow in our love for fellow believers and so that we will become the family that God has made us to be. A family devoted to the apostles' teaching and fellowship. A family devoted to the breaking of bread and prayers. Let's pray that that will be the family which we are here in Reformed Church Tshwane. Let's pray for God to be at work in us to that purpose. Are we going to do exactly that now? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we've been reconciled to you through your Son, that his body was broken for our sin and his blood was spilled to wash us clean. We thank you for meeting with us this day and ministering to us through your word and by your Spirit to strengthen our hearts and to encourage us for the week that lies ahead. And we want to ask, Lord, that you would please help us to be what you have made us to be, a family united in service to you. We pray for our elders, for Guy, for Jimmy, for Ken, that they would faithfully supervise the ministry of your word and make sure that the doctrines taught in your church are consistent with what you have revealed in Scripture, and that our practices also align with the same. We pray for our deacons, for Ross and Yuri, that they will have wisdom as they organize works of service and as they distribute resources according to everyone's needs. And for us as a church family, Lord, would you work a love in our hearts for one another that will be generous with our time, that will look out not only for our own interests, but also the interests of others, that we would recognize that you call us to serve and to give ourselves to the hard work of building relationships. Help us to do this by your Spirit, for your glory, and for the good of your church, we pray. Amen.